Blog Talk Radio.
But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Welcome to the Wedding 101 Radio Show. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. I own a music company, David Rothstein Music. Our website is drsmusic.com. This program was designed to be a helpful resource of both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn a lot from these fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a guest or topic, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Our guest today is Shelley Padoff-Becker of Three Hearts Boutique, and we're thrilled to have her on the air. Let me tell you a little bit about her and her company. Three Hearts Boutique is run by two sisters, Shelley Padoff-Becker and her sister, Molly Padoff, who are passionate about their business and customer service. Shelley Padoff and her sister, Molly, founded Three Hearts Incorporated with the mission to bring out a woman's natural beauty with the beauty of diamonds. The three intertwining hearts represent more than just a beautiful image. My heart, your heart, and their heart are all connected just as they are connected to each other, with their hearts giving back to each other and helping others. A simple glance at their linked hearts will remind everybody to slow down and use our heart as it was intended, to reach out and support those who need their help. They do a custom bridal line and have a lot of knowledge on what to look for and where to go. And we're thrilled to have Shelley on our program.
Hi, how are you?
Glad to have you here. And today we're going to go through some various aspects of using jewelry for people's weddings. Just to get started, tell us a little bit about what you love most about jewelry.
What I love most is just helping women enhance their natural beauty with the beauty of diamonds, silver, gold, family heirlooms. I just love helping women add accessories and just look beautiful and glamorous.
And do you guys create all your own designs, or is this something that that there are some preset things that people can go through?
You know what? We don't create all of our designs. We are inspired by other designers, by traditions. Our brides design a lot of their own pieces. We'll sit down with them and, you know, make a vision happen.
And for weddings, which is such, as you know, a very personal time in a woman's life, how much influence does a bride actually have over the design, or does she actually tend to just sit down with you and you can show different things that are there? Do they look at, oh, I really like this, but can we do it with this stone or maybe with this variation on that?
Of her engagement rings, it all depends on who she's marrying. I just did a ring for one of our best friends 2 weeks ago, Tom, and the woman he's marrying is this huge violinist. So we made the setting have little violin string. It was gorgeous, little pave diamonds, and he made it very personal. The main thing I will tell every groom-to-be is to find out what type of stone your bride-to-be wants, because that's, some women only like rounds, some only like cushions, princess. That's the main thing. I feel the settings have always changed, but the center stone you need to really get your future bride's input on it.
And does that type of creativity also go into other types of jewelry, like bracelets and necklaces and things like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I love sitting down with the brides and making jewelry for their bridesmaids, or a mother-in-law makes me for her future daughter-in-law to pass down to their children.
So if a bride selects, let's say, a particular style of, let's say, this beautiful necklace she wanted to have, is it something where she has to have the same thing recreated also for the bridesmaids as well, or is that kind of an independent choice depending on each of the bridesmaids?
Totally personal. I mean, I definitely would not want my bridesmaids wearing the same thing I was wearing on my wedding day. A lot of brides choose the jewelry for the bridesmaids by the color theme they're having or the bridesmaids' dresses. Sometimes you only want big earrings or necklaces or a ring. It all depends on the bride.
Okay, so basically she would want to have something that matches. Obviously, a lot of this stuff is a little bit foreign to me, so I'm learning a little bit as we go along. So what are the pieces of jewelry do most brides wear, obviously, other than just a ring?
you know, a lot of times a bride will wear beautiful earrings because they want to accentuate the upper part where their face is because they're beautiful and they're getting married. A lot of dresses are lower cut, so they don't want a chunky necklace taken away from their dress. Also, bracelets are gigantic. Bracelets are very big. Diamond, pearl, rings not so much. I mean, they're wearing their wedding ring on that day and they're doing that. So a lot of earrings, though. Definitely earrings.
And would you advise if a bride is looking to get some jewelry made, is it helpful for you as kind of the designer and advisor consultant person to see some of the jewelry that they currently wear? Would they bring? Do you advise them to bring things in that they already love? It's kind of a guide.
You know, I don't advise them to bring things in they love. You kind of learn your clients and their style.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's a very eccentric person and they like crazy things,
right?
You know, stuff out of a magazine. I'm heard of all these different fashion networks and magazines as well, so we could sit down and really customize everything to their style.
Okay.
But, yeah, sorry.
No, we're good.
Yeah, I always wear just a simple, you know, diamond pendant around my neck. That's not my style. It's just sentimental because my grandma gave it to me. So I wouldn't necessarily have them bring in something they wear all the time because it doesn't define who they are and what they're looking for.
And I think just like every aspect of really planning your wedding, you should do things that are truly authentic to you and your personality. And I wouldn't necessarily advise people to go, oh, this is what Jennifer Aniston was wearing, so this is what I want to wear, or Kim Kardashian was wearing, or Martha Stewart.
You don't have to do her wedding.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point there. Exactly. So, but if it's something that you find beautiful and that fits in with who you are, then you should absolutely, you know, pursue that. And the same thing with your florist, all the flowers that you choose. If you see something in an ad or on a TV show that you think was beautiful and is something you actually love yourself, then you can do that and go to your vendors and say, this is something that I would like to recreate for my wedding, but doing it because it's something that helps you express who you are as a couple, and not tell everybody that look how hip and trendy we are.
Exactly. Completely agree with you.
And do most brides actually wear jewelry, or some brides really just focus primarily on the ring as their main focus of jewelry?
99.9% of brides that I deal with on a regular basis always wear another piece of jewelry. A lot of times, if it's not something new that we're creating, it's something handed down to them. I wore a set of pearls that my aunt gave me because, you know, you wear something new, something old, something borrowed, something blue.
Right.
A lot of times, I designed this really cute little blue pendant you could hang on your boutique, not in your bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something blue. But no, brides definitely wear other jewelry to accentuate the beautiful dress and their makeup and their hair with their ring.
And if, as you mentioned, I know that you wear your grandmother's stone with you all the time, but if they come in with maybe a stone that was perhaps from a great-grandmother or a grandmother or even their mom's, and they want to get something made just from using that one stone, is that something you're able to do? And what are some of the more creative settings that you can do with something?
All the time. I love doing that. I love taking a family heirloom or stone and transforming it into something gorgeous for the new bride to see and something sentimental for her. The other day I took a bride that came in had her great-grandmother's earrings, pearl earrings, and we made this beautiful diamond band, and we put the pearls, two little sides of them, on the side of the band. It's very unusual, not something I'd ever think of doing, and it looks gorgeous. And to her, it's very special and sentimental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really what jewelry represents, is the meaning. It's not the actual stone itself, I mean, which is, of course, beautiful, but the meaning behind of what that stone really represents, which is, I think, the true value of it.
Exactly. You know, being with somebody for eternity and your love and commitment, that's the main thing. It doesn't matter the size or, you know, the band somebody picked, everybody's personal style, and just how much their future husband loves them and, you know, takes the time to create these amazing pieces.
Why would you say it's better to buy jewelry from a boutique like yours as opposed to going to one of the larger chain jewelry stores?
Well, first of all, I'm one-on-one. I'm personal. I'm always there. I'll help you with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I sell wholesale, so I will beat anybody's price. And I get very close with all of my clients. I understand their needs. I'm there.
Right.
I make sure I always clean their rings the day before the wedding. My sister and I have a very, very strong connection with everybody we work with. And we're lucky. We became friends. We go to almost all their weddings. So I love it. I know I'm broke from all that, but I love all my clients, and I really feel a sentimental attachment to them at the end. Because I created a special thing they'll have for the rest of their life.
And how do you balance, I mean, you had mentioned your sister, and that's certainly a very unique relationship to be able to have your sister working with you and you guys really working together to create something, not only the actual product that you're able to put out, but to create a business. And sometimes that can also be a little bit on the trickier side. How do you guys kind of divide things in terms of, is there one of you that's a little bit more creative while the other handles more of the business aspects? Or how do you blend those two?
You know, growing up, we each had our own personalities, and we always were best friends. And, you know, I said yes, she said no. And the same thing with our business. I only buy stuff that I love and like. And my sister's taste, especially when we're buying the jewelry for the bridesmaids or for boutiques,
mm-hmm.
And my sister buys stuff that she likes, and our tastes are so different that we have a wide variety of things. I'm very classic and traditional, and Molly's crazy and out there and very trendy, so it works out very well. I'm more of the soft one. She's the hard one. She's very business savvy. She, you know, deals with all the invoices, and I'm the one who makes the connection and really gets involved with the clients. We have a very good balance.
It's really a great thing to have that kind of balance, because if both of you were one way, you would maybe lose some of the creativity. Or if you were both the other way, you would be kind of all over the map in business, and you know, you wouldn't be paying your bills and all kinds of stuff would be all over the place.
Yeah,
so
we are so black and white. Like,
yeah.
We are so different. She always teases me that I'm the wimp. I should be the little sister, because she's the tough, aggressive one, and I'm like, oh. So no, we work out very well in business because we have two different personalities and tastes. But our main goal is to make our clients happy and to have repeat customers. And that's the one thing we both are passionate about.
And collectively, as long as you're working towards the same goal, you can use different approaches to get there. But the fact that you guys keep the main focus of what you're doing is on the specific brides that you're really trying to help.
Exactly, and that's the main thing. It's not just the brides, it's their future children and
mm-hmm.
all the memories. Like, I go through my photo album now of our wedding, and the bracelets I chose, I still, it makes my I just smile. Something I chose for my bridesmaids, they have it as a keepsake. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that is ultimately really what it comes down to, is what their memories are, and not just the actual ring, but the whole experience of working with you guys. And anybody who's listening, you can really tell just by hearing Shelley speak her passion for not only the jewelry, but also the people that have chosen her to help her for all the jewelry, that she really does care about the people she works with and wants to sincerely get them the best results. Where a lot of some of the bigger chains tend to be, they may be professional and may have a certain great customer service, but there's something you really get when you actually have the owners of the company there on hand that are sitting down with them and really getting to know them on a personal basis, first name basis. And that's why I'm sure you're getting a lot of repeat business, because it is such a relationship that you're building and not just selling a diamond ring.
Exactly. We actually were on the weekend of a Whitney show, NBC5.
Mm-hmm.
One of our clients got engaged to TV. So it was so much fun helping him create the ring and get to know his bride before they even were engaged, and then watch him get engaged and her reaction to the ring. It was the first time we saw how beautiful the ring is and how much it, you know, made this bride to be so happy.
That must have been incredible to see. I mean, what a neat thing to be able to see on television.
I know. I was so excited. I still talk to them all the time, working on their bridal jewelry as we speak. So I'm excited to see the wedding, too, and how everything turns out.
That's fantastic. How far ahead should a bride and groom be reserving jewelry for their wedding, or for a groom that picks out a ring? How long does it take to get all put together and customized? Or does it really depend on a lot of different aspects?
It depends on everything, but because we are private jewelers, and we do deal one-on-one with making our customers' needs met, it just depends what they want. Like I said, a week ago, one of my friends called me up and said, I want a ring in 3 days. I have the design. I sat down with him. We made a CAD, a wax. I found him a stone. We had the ring made in 3 days. He was engaged in 5. So it all depends.
Wow. That's pretty quick.
Right. He knew he wanted to do it before, you know, they went on vacation. He got it in the 10, and that was it. So, you know, when there's a will, there's a way, and I'll help you find that way.
But any faster, you'd have a drive-through, I think, you know.
Exactly. You throw it at you.
You just stick your arm out the window, and then you slip it on. I'll take ring number 4, please, and small fries, and you pull around, and they slip it on your ring, and there's your fries, and that's pretty impressive.
I know. It was so exciting. But that was great because I couldn't keep that secret very long. It was the best man in our wedding who got engaged, and I was dying. I couldn't tell my husband. I tell everybody I'm like a doctor. You don't have to worry. You won't say anything. We never talk about our clients, our price. I mean, everything is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to get engaged.
That's really a lot of fun. Now, I'm sure you're dealing with people at a point where they're extremely happy and extremely excited. So I'm sure there's a lot of emotion that goes into getting a ring.
And stress. These guys come in. I'm like, no one's dying. This is the happiest day. Relax. They're so nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about.
Well, I mean, I guess they're afraid of getting the wrong ring, or somehow you're going to come up with something
We will fix that. And honestly, if you know the woman you're marrying, and you've had at least the talk you want to get married, I think you'll be okay. I don't really hear the wrong ring. You know what your bride-to-be is going to want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good for the guys, I would be guessing, but if you spend some time, if you know this is the girl you're going to be marrying, you can, you know, ask some of her friends maybe, or do some detective work on your own. Look at her jewelry right now and try to get a sense of the types of things she likes. Maybe if she's watching some kind of wedding show, you can see how she reacts to certain things, and then go to somebody like Shelley and Molly and really go through and ask them about what's going to be the best, what would you advise for, you know, for this type of taste, and what are some options in this kind of general category. So guys, don't worry. These guys will absolutely take care of everything for you. So
she got unlucky. We have not had one complaint yet. And I had a guy come in the other day. He brought his girlfriend's mother to help him pick out the ring, and she did everything. It was pretty funny. I felt like they were the ones getting married.
Okay, that's funny.
She knew what she wanted, the size, everything. It was hysterical.
Uh-huh. And how has social media like Facebook and Pinterest affected a bride's knowledge, or even a groom's knowledge in terms of picking out the ring and jewelry?
It's not just the ring. I think Facebook and Pinterest is everything. These guys come in and they'll go to my girlfriend's Pinterest page, and you could see exactly her style, what she likes. This way it's a no-brainer in getting this ring done to perfection. Or her, even if it's just jewelry, not even a ring, if they're getting, you know, their girlfriend a pair of earrings, if we go to their Facebook page or Pinterest, my sister and I get an idea of their style and what they like. So we know where to advise the guy and what to get.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good resource, I would imagine, because these are things that they are voluntarily putting up, and they are literally saying, these are the things that I love. So
right, and their friends see it, and their boyfriends see it. Everybody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it makes it public. You know what they want.
So now, let's say a couple just got engaged, and what are the most important questions that a bride should be asking a jeweler before selecting them to handle all the jewelry for their wedding? What are some of the main questions that they should be asking you?
Well, really, I ask my brides, what color scheme are they wearing? Because you don't want to get them. Like the other day, I just sold a beautiful bride these black diamond pendants with little white topazes around them. It was gorgeous. But the dress, I mean, it went with a black dress. It was gorgeous. If the bridesmaids are going to wear pink dresses, you're not going to want to get green jewelry. You really want to figure out their color scheme, if they want a big, bold statement piece, if they want something delicate and beautiful. And also, if the bride wants to make sure that all the attention is either on her, or she doesn't care if the bridesmaids have more attention with crazy jewelry. It's really important to figure out how the bride wants to run her wedding and what is important to her.
Okay, so you really spent some time before you even start looking at the jewelry itself in terms of really getting a sense for where she's at and the type of feel
right.
that she wants to have before you're actually looking at the objects, right?
Exactly, because if she picked out some hideous dress, big fluffles and green and awful shoes, not going to give her a gigantic necklace. The outfit's already a mess. You want to make it look beautiful with an elegant pair of earrings or a nice simple bracelet. You don't want to add more fuel to that fire. So I always try to see the cherry on top of the sundae.
Okay, so you don't want to have any Wilma Flintstone kinds of jewelry going
exactly.
on, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No bones from this girl.
Or anything that requires going through a large number of gumballs to get, right?
Exactly.
I understand.
Exactly.
You want to make sure that it only enhances what they have. So what do you think about some people buying jewelry online, like eBay or some of the other companies that mainly just advertise purely online?
So funny you said that. And last Thursday, I told a guy, beautiful 1.7 brown GIA G-color stone, a great stone for an amazing price. And we started working on designing the setting. And yesterday, he sent me an email. He's like, why are these stones cheaper? And they are comparable in size and color, but their prices were off a couple $100s. He found them online. So I clicked on their search, and they were EGL, not GIA. And that's why they're cheaper. I think, and he has another physical stone. I think you need to know what you're getting. It's much easier to come to me because you can see the stone, you can see the piece, and you know what you're getting.
Because a lot of it is, it really is the language, is the educational aspects, because it's easy for us to, the average consumer, to get fooled by like, ooh, that's so sparkly and everything like that. But to be a true diamond, you really need to have somebody who is an expert to be able to see the difference between the different, between different diamonds and what makes, you know, cubic zirconia, yeah. So much less value and so much less of a beautiful diamond than a true diamond.
Right, you need to compare apples to apples, and a cubic zirconia or a CZ is a piece of glass, which is really funny. I actually told you a story earlier. I had a guy come to me, and he didn't want to pay for a diamond. He didn't have a lot of money, so he put a CZ stone in a vat. And his girlfriend to this day does not know it's a CZ stone. I didn't do the CZ, I did the band, that's it. But that's why you have to know what you're getting, you have to know who you're going to, and you have to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. When you have one stone the same size and color, one might be GIA certified and one might be EGL. EGL is graded a lot lower and looser. It's not a true color and a true clarity.
Okay, can you kind of... go through a little bit of the various stages of qualities of diamonds. What is the lowest up to the what's considered the highest, and what are the kind of the glossary of terms for diamonds?
Well, first you have to know the shape. So there's rounds, which are solitaires, princess, which are squares, cushions, and a lot of people get pear shape. And then there's the color scale, where D is the highest color you'll get. You'll have D, it's colorless, and then the lowest color is a W or D. Most people get G or H or I. It's near colorless. When you start getting to J and K, you see a little yellow. So I really tell everybody, you really want to get either a colorless or near colorless stone, because you will see yellow if you go lower in the grading scale. And then, do you want me to tell you about clarity?
Sure.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you want me to, because I can talk about diamonds all day long. The most common with clarity are SI1 and SI2, and there's slight inclusions in the diamonds. It could be a little feathering or a black dot, but they're not seen with the human eye. You need a loupe, which is what we look through to look at the diamonds. So those are the most common. And then if you get a VS1 stone or a VS2, there's very slight inclusions you can't see unless you take a big magnifier and zoom it in. So those are the main things in buying a stone. You want to make sure you have good color and good clarity. They're very important. Size depends on the person. But if you have a stone that's white and it sparkles, I think it might look, it's smaller than, you know, another stone that's not as, that's a yellow in color, doesn't sparkle. I think the little older stone looks nicer. It has more of a vibrant feel. It's livelier. It's gorgeous. You'll notice it.
And are there certain names of particular types of diamonds, like a certain like a brand name or anything like that, that are really exclusive that people should look for? Is it just diamond by diamond basis?
No. With GAA diamonds are the Gemological Institute of America. That's where they're graded in California.
Okay.
So you have these, you know, gemologists sitting there looking at the stones and saying, hey, this is a true color D. It's, you know, there's no yellow. It's colorless. It's, you know, a true VS1 where there's a little imperfection you can't see. When you drop down and you have an EGL stone, it's certified by someone in Europe, and instead of it being a true D, they're a little looser on grading. It'll probably be like an H. So there might be a faint slight of yellow you can't see really, but they'll mark it as a G. That's why GAA stones are a little better than EGL. It's just GAA, they're very strict on how they grade the diamonds. And that's like with the story before, the guy, he was comparing my beautiful GAA stone that's very, very strongly rated and graded to an EGL, which is a lot looser with, and even though it's a G color, it's probably not a true G, and you can't see it. That's why buying in person and from somebody who knows their stuff is much better than purchasing online. And you have to make sure you're with, you know, somebody who's reliable and is a true diamond dealer. You don't want to go to some schmo off the street who could be selling you something that could be a CZ or an enhanced stone where they drill an imperfection and shoot it with silicone, and you can't see it. You have to know who you're going to and trust them.
And plus, if you buy it from some guy in Bangladesh, you have no recourse, really. I mean, you can't really fly over there and try to get your money back. So the fact that you can actually walk into a store and talk to Shelly or Molly and have them, you know, really, you know, discuss everything with you ahead of time, then you've got a real relationship and you've got a friend in the business, in a way, who can really absolutely tell you the truth. And I'm sure you have a lot of...
Yeah, if you don't know about diamonds, my sister and I love teaching. We'll sit down and we'll teach you about it. I really feel like if you're knowledgeable and you know what you're buying, you'll be happier and you'll be proud to show your bride or wife what you purchased, and she'll be proud to wear it. It's very important to have an understanding. It's a big purchase of what you're buying.
And I'm sure
people don't know.
The more people know, the more they'll appreciate what you actually are offering them.
Exactly. We'll become your teachers in diamonds. And semi-precious stones.
Diamond University over there at Three Heart Boutique,
exactly.
Yes. And,
exactly.
And by the way, folks, be sure to check out their website, which is three hearts with an S, boutique, which is BOUTIQUE.com. And you can reach them at 847-287-4598. That's Three Heart Boutique. .com, and you can see some great information there and really learn a lot about their boutique. And how much should at what point do you bring up pricing? Is that something you do before you even start looking at various diamonds? I understand there's a certain ratio in terms of months of income that a groom should be spending. Can you refresh me what that is?
Well, I tell everybody, what are you comfortable with and what can you spend? I don't care what they tell you, you know, you're supposed to spend. It's what the groom is comfortable with. Most sales for like one carat beautiful ring are between, you know, $4,000 to $7,000. It's a big range. But I tell every groom, you know, what you're comfortable with spending, that's what you should get. Because if you can always upgrade later or change the stone. But I really feel if you're comfortable, you'll be happier buying what you're buying.
Absolutely. I think you're going to be... You have to do, you certainly don't want to be overwhelmed or getting yourself into something that you don't feel comfortable with just to make a big impression.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you could always trade up later, I suppose, right?
I do that all the time. I had one client a few months ago. When I started 4 years ago, she bought a beautiful 2-carat princess, just square diamond for me. And it's been 2 years now. When she traded it up, we traded her stone for bigger stone for a 4.75. Literally, she doubled in size. It's a gorgeous stone.
Wow.
And she wants to keep getting bigger. I think it's an addiction with some people, but it's a gorgeous stone. I said, don't do it. It looks beautiful. The first one looks beautiful. So, yeah, you can always trade up. You can never make a mistake with, you know, what you buy the first time. It's just, I really feel it's about the commitment of giving yourself to somebody else.
And
forget everything else.
Do you guys generally have an idea of what they want to spend, or do they come in just having no idea really what rings kind of cost?
Well, because I do wholesale with my sister, I tell every guy or a couple I'm meeting, Yeah, do your research before you come. We'll teach you, but do your research on price and carrot before you come to me. Because we want to pull stuff that's in your budget, that's important to you. If size is only important to you and that color, we'll pull stuff for you. We deal with a bunch of different guys to get you the best price possible for what you want and what you can afford.
Great. And do you also do jewelry for grandparents and mothers as well?
And dogs and cats, everything.
Dogs and cats, everything. Okay.
I sent some awesome collars.
Oh.
Do charms for the collars. You name it, we do it.
Boy, that is very creative. And do you many times have the mothers or grandmothers come in as well, or some of the bridesmaids come in as well, or is that mainly the bride picks those things out on her own?
You know, it's mainly the bride. I really have not dealt with, you know, any mothers coming in and picking out the stuff. Or the bridesmaids might have an input of what they want, but it's mainly the bride. It's her day. Let her pick it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how do you stay up on some of the latest, quote-unquote, trends or in terms of jewelry? Are you going through people's Pinterest pages, watching television, movies, magazines, or is this just something that's all over the place? You're always looking for stuff, huh?
Right. See all the above. We do everything. We're on every trends alert, every fashion alert. We know what's going on. So all the above. But, you know, it really depends mainly on the person's style. If you're not a very trendy person, you just like conservative, we know what conservative people like. My sister and I have it covered.
Okay. And have you ever gotten some crazy requests that are like scratching your head and, I guess we could come up with something for that where you're like, oh, this should be fun, you know?
My favorite was this lady came to us and asked us if we knew, there's this company that takes cremated people's ashes and compresses them because the carbon compresses into a diamond, so we could take her dead grandmother and make it a diamond.
Oh.
So that was the only request I said no to. Hmm. I did find her the company in Ohio that does it and sent her that way, but otherwise we don't really scratch our heads, we find a solution.
That's pretty creative. Now, we focused a lot on the bride and her ring and some of the jewelry aspects. What about the men in terms of wedding bands? Tell me a little bit about those.
I think we need a whole different show for that. Some men really get into it. Like, my husband he barely wears his wedding band. He takes it off all the time. Our original one, he's lost already. He hates that. He hates his wedding band. He doesn't care. He wants no bling. I mean, he barely wears it. And there's other guys who really take a long time, and they want to be as involved with their wedding band as they were for their wife. So it's the same thing. It all depends on the couple and the person. I love the men's wedding bands. They're a lot simpler than the females.
And
white gold's very popular.
Do the guys tend to come in on their own, or do they come in with the bride, or is that how do they keep
Once
that balance?
Once they're engaged, the wife is part of it. Let me tell you. Once they're engaged, that woman is there. They all come in. It's a lot of fun. I have them send me pictures of things they like. I can copy anything or replicate it and make the way they like it. What's very popular right now is just really a white gold band with one or two diamonds inside. Nothing that flashy for the guys.
And do a lot of people use engraving for the men's and women's rings?
They do. They engrave either the inside of their bands and their wife's bands, either their wedding date or a phrase that, you know, represents them or their favorite song. It's very popular.
Huh. Okay. And of course, this is not something you would want to, you know, deal with on a regular basis, but I'm sure there's been times where maybe they later got divorced or the wedding didn't work out and they come back to you with needing to sell the diamonds. Is that the rings back? Is that something that you do?
I buy back rings. I buy back settings. I actually have. It's a horrible story, but it's one of my favorite stories. I sold this woman 3-carat round rings, and 8 months later she came to me and she said, I'm getting divorced. And I was more upset for her. She's like, no, I found somebody to buy my stone. Will you buy back my setting, sell her my stone and a new band? So sure enough, her friend comes in, great deal, we traded everything, we made it work, they left. I did this, you know, the new husband's band. I'm not even kidding you, a year and a half later, that girl comes to me, I'm getting divorced. But don't worry, the same type of scenario. They're all friends. My friend liked my ring. She's getting married. Sell her my stone. You know, this is is what I pay. They want this. Get her a new band, a new setting. Bye. I sold this home 3 times. I said to this girl, I said, I wish you nothing but the best, but God forbid you get divorced. I am not taking the stone back. But that's the joke. They're still married. It's been 1.5 years later. They're having a baby. So maybe 3 is a charm.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. That's
sorry. That's how you know you're a good jeweler, when you can sell the same stone 3 times, and they all know about it. I mean, that is my favorite story.
Oh, that's
and they
that's
all were saying, yeah, they all were friends. It was bizarre, but
well, maybe you could set something up and have all their friends kind of like, you know, put money into a pot, and then whoever gets married first, they just, you know, pass the stone around and
That
could be a very interesting trend. We played for a couple with our live music company. We played for all 3 daughters' weddings, and the father of the bride came up to me afterwards. And he said, David, your band was incredible, and, you know, all these weddings are taking me to a new chapter in my life, chapter 11. So it's...
happens to some guys with these wedding rings. I understand.
Sure. It's really, really a lot of fun. Well, that must be a very, very rewarding type of job that you're able to do in terms of capturing people at really their height, their excitement, because one of the first things they do once they decided, you know, the guy gets the idea of becoming engaged and proposing to her, that they come to you, and it's really the very, very beginning of before they even start their trek down wedding planning. Is to come to you. So it's got to be an incredibly rewarding feeling.
It is. I'm so honored. I really love all of my clients, and I can't thank them enough for trusting me to be part and make this beautiful family heirloom something they'll have forever.
And where are your stores actually located? What's the address?
Well, my little sister and I sell wholesale. So you have to call us for a private appointment, and we do have an office in Wabash. So if you call us, we'll meet you, and we'll... you know, set up a room and bring you a bunch of stones. But we do sell our jewelry wholesale around the city and in New York on our website. So the jewelry on our website is mainly the bridesmaids and fun, trendy jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And the diamond sales, we specifically work with our customers one-on-one.
I see. Okay.
So it's really 2 companies that merged into one. My sister handles mainly, you know, the stores and getting our jewelry all over the place. And I really love the personal connection with our clients and doing the diamonds.
And the phone number there is 224-306-2137, correct?
Correct.
224-306-2137. And the website, once again, is 3heartsboutique.com. And we would certainly like to thank you, Shelley. Any other last-minute advice you might have for a couple that that is doing their wedding planning, looking for a great jeweler?
Give me a call. I'll help you with anything. And so my little sister will take care of anything you need.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being a guest on the program.
Thank you. I was honored, David.
And we'd like to thank all of you for listening to our show today, the Wedding 101 radio show. Feel free to tune in on future shows. We're actually coming up on Sunday night. We will have an interview with a bride and groom, it's going to be absolutely amazing show. And all the brides will be able to get some advice from actual brides and grooms, as well as wedding professionals who would like to get a perspective from those people that they are working for and working towards and working for marketing, for their marketing techniques as well. So be sure to tune into that, and we want to thank all of you for listening. You can listen to all the archive shows, which are on our website, drsmusic.com. Click over to the Wedding 101 radio show. All the shows are organized and categorized by topic. So you can see catering, venue, photographer, and now jewelry. And listen to those shows as much as you want. You can share them with your friends. If you have any friends who are recently gotten engaged or planning their wedding, feel free to explore all the shows. We've done about 15 to 20 shows already, and we'll be constantly expanding and improving more and more topics and guests on our show. So thank you so much, everybody. We want to wish you the absolute best for all your wedding planning, and hope to see you all again soon. If you need any great help with some wonderful live music, feel free to visit our website, drsmusic.com. And we've got live videos, photos, reviews, and you're welcome to give me a call if you'd like. It's 773-244-1239. That's 773-244-1239. Our thanks to Shelley for being a guest on the program and to all of you for listening. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.